This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بكت عيني بكت عيني بكت عيني على ذنبي وما لاقيت من كربي فيا ذلي ويا خجلي إذا ما قال لي ربي أما استحييته تعصيني ولا تخشى من العتب.
الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith reported in Sahih Imam al-Bukhari and the Sahih Imam Muslim by Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala an, that إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَا يَقْبِضُ الْعِلْمَ انْتِزَاعًا يَنْتَزِعُهُ مِنْ صُدُورِ الْعِبَادِ. Allah does not take knowledge away by snatching it from the hearts of the people. Allah does not take knowledge away by taking it away from the hearts of the people. وَلَكِنْ, however, how does Allah take knowledge away? بِقَبْضِ الْعُلَمَاء. Allah takes it away by taking the scholars away. حَتَّى إِذَا لَمْ يَبْقَ عَالِمًا. Until finally, when there are no scholars left, اتخذوا الناس رؤوسا جهالا. People will take ignoramuses as their leaders. When the scholars are gone, the juhal will become the people that are asked. So what will happen then? فضلوا. They will go astray. وأضلوا. And they will lead people astray. So our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam informed us that the death of the ulama is in fact the misguidance of the ummah. When the ulama leave, then what is going to be the net result? The people will be left without leadership, without scholarship. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam reminded us that it is the scholars who are the inheritors of the prophets. Hadith is in Sunan al-Tirmidhi. Al-ulama warathatu al-anbiya. Al-ulama warathatu al-anbiya. The scholars are the ones who are the inheritors of the prophets. And then he explained, the prophets, the Prophet said, did not leave dinar or dirham. They didn't leave gold and silver. وَلَكِنْ وَرَّثُ الْعِلْمِ. They left behind knowledge to be inherited. So whoever has taken the knowledge has inherited directly from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ibn Hajar commented on these hadith and he said, these ahadith show that the world shall, that knowledge shall be taken away through the death of the ulama. That knowledge shall be eliminated from this dunya through the death of the ulama. And it is one of the signs of the day of judgment that scholarship will diminish, 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 diminish. That as we come closer to qiyamah, and as we inch our way towards the end of times, our scholars will continue to grow less and less and less. Once upon a time, the default, the majority of the Sahaba had a high level of knowledge. If you look at from that time up until our time, there has been a steady decline. And therefore, every time an alim passes away, it should be a wake-up call for us. It should be something that we take personally. Ayub al-Sikhtiyani said, when I hear of a scholar dying, it is as if I've lost a limb. My hand has been cut off. I don't have a foot anymore. When I hear the death of an alim, it is as if my body has been cut off. This is how he felt, and this is in his time when the ulama were so many. How about in our times? There is a verse in the Quran in Surah Al-Ra'd. أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّا نَأْتِ الْأَرْضَ نَنْقُصُهَا مِنْ أَطْرَافِهَا. Do they not see how we gradually reduce their land from its borders? Ibn Abbas commented on this verse. Ibn Abbas commented on this verse that the reduction of the land, kharabul alim, the reduction of the world, is through the death of the ulama and fuqaha. When Allah is saying we're going to diminish the earth, Ibn Abbas commented, it is not a physical diminishing. It is a diminishing of the barakah. It is a diminishing of the blessings. And the diminishing of the blessings will happen by the taking away of its ulama, the taking away of its leadership and its scholarship. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala, he commented, مَوْتُ أَلْفِ عَابِدٍ قَائِمٍ لَيْلِ صَائِمٍ نَهَارِ أَهْوَنُ مِنْ مَوْتِ عَالِمٍ بَصِيرٍ. The death of 1,000 worshippers who are constantly praying and reading Quran and standing the night is easier for this dunya than the death of one scholar who is preaching the truth. The death of 1,000 worshippers is easier to deal with than the death of one alim. And this is in Ihya Ulumuddin. And the reason for this is obvious, and it goes back to what our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith in Tirmidhi, that this is a hadith, that the fadlu, the superiority of the alim over the abid, of the scholar over the worshipper, is like the superiority of the full moon over all of the other stars. So the alim is the full moon, and the stars are the worshippers. One moon eclipses all the worshippers. One moon is more powerful and more beneficial and more useful than all of the worshippers. Imam Ahmad commented on this, and Imam Ahmad said, that is because the worshipper only benefits himself. The worshipper only benefits himself, but the scholar benefits an entire ummah. So the worshipper's benefit is restricted on himself and only himself. But the scholar can move and shake. The scholar can resurrect the dead ummah. The scholar can preach and teach. The scholar can keep the rulers in check. No one can do this other than the ulama. And that is why we know the ulama are the inheritors of the prophets. And therefore, dear brothers and sisters, we should really appreciate our ulama when we have them. SubhanAllah, especially in this last year or two during COVID, SubhanAllah, I myself have lost so many of my own teachers that taught me, and so many great ulama around the world. I don't know what it is, but during these days, it's as if there is an expedition, if you like. One after the other, we hear great ulama just departing, much more in our quantity and frequency than before this time frame. So my humble advice to myself and to all of you is to benefit from our ulama when they are amongst us, because wallahi, we do not recognize the worth of an alim until after he has gone, until when we miss his presence, when we don't realize how much comfort and how much barakah we had from their demeanor, from their interactions. You know, when we learn that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the scholars are the inheritors of the prophets, this means the closest we will get in our lives to seeing how the prophets interacted, to seeing the akhlaq of the prophets, is by being with our ulama, the real ulama. Because they are ulama, may Allah protect us from being amongst them. They're ulama, they're not real. We're talking about the real ulama, the ulama that have ibadah, the ulama that have taqwa, the ulama that have zuhd, the ulama that have genuine akhlaq. Those ulama, the real ulama, they are the closest me and you will get to seeing how the Prophet ﷺ interacted, to seeing his akhlaq. And wallahi, I swear to you, and wallahi, this doesn't even need to be said, which group of humanity more embodies the values of the prophets and the mannerisms of the prophets and the akhlaq of the prophets than the ulama? Tell me, by Allah, tell me, who else is there that when you're around them, their dignity, their humility, their generosity, their controlling of their anger, they're constantly teaching the people wherever they go, benefiting wherever they go? Who is closer to the reality of the prophets than the ulama? Now obviously no alim can ever take the place of the prophet, but collectively the ulama take on the responsibility of the anbiya when we don't have anbiya. And that is why our Prophet ﷺ called them the inheritors. Al-ulama warathatu al-anbiya. And I also strongly advise every one of you to benefit from ulama, not just those that you are familiar with, but those that are outside of your circles. Because again, and let me be very, you know, blunt and frank over here, what happens usually is that once we get involved with a trend or a philosophy or an understanding, we like to stick with one small subsect of ulama, the ulama that we are most comfortable with. And I was also like this 25 years ago. But subhanAllah, ilm is beyond one small group. And all mainstream groups and all mainstream movements, they have things to benefit from. So, you know, Sheikh Islahi is coming from a particular madrasa and a particular, you know, mashrab, we call it, a particular way. And that's different than what I have studied, you know, from Medina. But interacting with people like this, being with them, reading their books, it broadens one's horizons. It makes one humble. It makes one appreciate the diversity of the ummah. ummah. And I strongly suggest to every one of you to not just stick with your own little small circle, because that will keep you in your own bubble. This is not healthy. Learn from ulama of many different strands. Learn from ulama that have studied in different geographic regions. This is another problem we have, that for a lot of people, ulama are restricted to their own ethnicity or maybe to one ethnicity. And this is wrong. Ilm is transnational. Ilm goes all the way across the globe. There are great ulama in Africa. By the way, recently one of the greatest ulama and muhaddithin of Africa passed away. One of the greatest scholars of hadith of Africa, he passed away in Nigeria. This was 3 days ago, and somebody whom I had heard a lot about, he had graduated from Medina back in the 60s, and he was the greatest muhaddith of Africa in Nigeria. He just passed away, and I had benefited from him. And we have now Sheikh Islahi passed away 2 weeks ago. We had benefited from him. Across the globe, there are people of different ethnicities, different backgrounds, different studying routines, but what combines them is a love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a knowledge, a scholarship of the Quran and of the Sunnah and of our akhlaq and of our fiqh that benefits the entire ummah. And so, inshaAllah ta'ala, I want to emphasize this point, that let us take advantage of the people of ilm when they are amongst us. Let us benefit from their presence. Let us benefit from their books and lectures. Let us make dua for them, overlook their mistakes. And let us just simply, the barakah that comes being with an alim. It is narrated that Ahmad ibn Hanbal's halaqah had over 100,000 people. Only 1,000 would take notes. The rest of the 99,000, they would just be for the barakah of being in the gathering of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, learning from his manners and his akhlaq, just to see the presence of an alim and to see the dignity and the humility. That is enough of a person to benefit from, even if they cannot benefit from the ilm. And of course, along with this comes the barakah and the angels making dua, and just to hear the Quran and the Sunnah being recited on the tongue of the ulama. And so with this, inshaAllah ta'ala, very briefly, yani I'm not going to go over the biography of the Sheikh. We have people far more qualified, and the fact of the matter is, and I will not pretend that I was one of his main students, that is not the case at all. However, I do have an interesting, if you like, personal connection with the Sheikh, and that is that when I was still a very young lad, literally 12 years old, the very first book of fiqh that I ever read, when I had no idea that I would myself study fiqh professionally, dedicate my life to the scholarship of Islam, when I was still in middle school, and it just so happened in my father's small library, there was a book, you know, Asan Fiqh, you know, it's translated into English as Fiqh Made Easy, I think, right? Everyday Fiqh. And it was the only book of fiqh in English back in 1986, I think it was, 85, like this is what we're talking about. When I was still, you know, I didn't have a beard back then, that's how young I was. And I remember clearly that, you know, I found this book in English and I had no other, there was no book in English at the time. So the first book of fiqh that I ever read in my life was the book of fiqh by Sheikh Yusuf Islahi, subhanAllah. And I had no idea who he was. I had no idea that one day I would meet him many, many times. I had no idea that a time would come when I will be speaking next to him at the Ikhna stage. Multiple times it happened that we're speaking together. But subhanAllah, this is Allah's qadr, that, you know, one generation, I'm a little child reading his book, and another generation later, subhanAllah, he's an elderly man, and Allah has blessed him to be touring the entire world. And, you know, Abdul Faqir myself, who is not worthy to be next to him, but subhanAllah, there I was sitting next to him, and I remembered when I was sitting next to him on the Ikhna stage, I remembered, subhanAllah, 30 years ago, here I was just a child reading the Sheikh's book, and now Allah has yani blessed us to be on the stage together. And we met him, you know, multiple times. In fact, the last time I met him was last year when he came to Dallas in our brother Ubaid's house over here. Where's our brother Ubaid? When he invited us to come, and we spent an entire afternoon, myself and my father and Maulana Sahib, we spent an entire afternoon, and I always found him to be a person of utmost dignity and utmost humility and utmost modesty. You know, subhanAllah, as I said, the akhlaq of the alim, it speaks more than just his ilm. And the way that he carried himself, the way that he would sacrifice his time and his simplicity and his demeanor, it always impacted me. And so, without a doubt, we have lost one of the greatest ulama who would be touring the world. He wrote almost, I think, 80 books, but his son will tell us more. All of them have been translated into English. He traveled the world preaching and teaching, he always emphasized giving time, especially to the children and the sisters. One of the things he always did is to make sure that the next generation, and also to make sure that our sisters, they got time for this ilm.
فَيَا ذُلِّي وَيَا خَجَلِي إِذَا مَا قَالَ لِي رَبِّي أَمَا اسْتَحْيَيْتَهُ تَعْصِينِي وَلَا تَخْشَى مِنَ الْعَتَبِ وَتُخْفِي الذَّنْبَ عَنْ خَلْقِي وَتَأْبَى فِي الْهَوَى قُرْبِي فَتُبْ مِمَّا جَنَيْتَ عَسَى تَعُودُ إِلَى رِضَى الرَّبِّ.